coming here and sitting down. You've gone on a little bit of a scavenger hunt and brought back different items, I guess, that you, all of these items, you would say, were found here on Ely Square, right?
They were all found here on Ely Square, and yes, just a couple little leaves I picked off. One is from, the first one I picked up is from the ginkgo tree. It looks like a nice fan, and it's kind of an unusual tree. It's standing right over there. It's a, looks like it might be about a 40 to 60-year-old tree. Hopefully it is a male tree, because the female tree drops fruit in the fall that is very stinky. So you want to make sure you only have one so it never gets pollinated.
So this is not a stinky ginkgo is what you're trying to
tell. Hopefully it's not a stinky ginkgo. I guess we'd know that when the Apple Festival is going on and you might walk through this and get it on your shoes, you would know that it has a quaint smell to it.
So this is this a ginkgo tree? I don't think I've ever heard of that. This is a very leathery kind of a leaf, too, that it has. When you showed me this leaf, I thought something had eaten the edges of it. There's a little bit of a scalloped on it, but I guess that's actually the leaf itself. Now, I saw a maple. Is there a maple leaf you have there, or an elm? Or?
No, the other leaf I brought along is from a crab apple, and there's a number of them here on the square. Just mention one thing. You had asked if there were any insects out there, and this tiny little spot on there is from the spotted tentiform leaf miner. This is a problem. If it gets on more than about three spots per leaf, it'll actually defoliate the whole tree. And if people have regular apple trees, this can be a problem. This should have been spraying actually way back in May to prevent this. And on the crab apples, well, they tend to drop all their leaves anyway, so don't overly worry about it with this problem. Another thing with this humid weather that we're having, we're in the last kind of throes of the apple scab fungus that will be on your crab apple trees that you happen to be around your properties. And you might be wanting to put on a protective fungicide spray for that.
Is it on there now, or is that just the remnants of what was once when it was there?
The insect has fallen off from here now, but it did. It's a little skeletonizing. But coming up here in about another 3 weeks, 4th of July, you know, it's coming along here very quickly, we will be having the Japanese beetles popping out, and they'll be out feeding on all these trees on the park here. They usually don't do enough damage to cause any economic significance, but if you do have a large outbreak on your property, yes, you may want to spray those trees for Japanese beetles. Starting about the 4th of July is when the first emergence begins of those.
That's a tiny little speck on that leaf. Do you just go up to any leaf and assume, well, probably somewhere on here there is probably an insect, or are you one of these kind of sharp-eyed students?
Well, you want to know that certain insects are going to be on trees, and you just want to look and kind of do some counts on things and what's going on. In fact, we have there's several people that work for OSU over in Erie County that actually go around to the orchards here in Lorain and Erie County, and we'll look for various insect problems and disease problems and warn the farmers of those problems, and they can make the decision if they want to spray or not.
All right, you got some other things here. Is that a stick on your lap, or you just, anyway, what do you got here?
I picked up a stick, and this looks like it's fallen down from one of the maple trees down here in the square, and I was going to point out to you that you can look at the health of the tree by the so-called internodes of growth, and this little, where these areas of compression are, this is last year's growth. It's the growth that we saw in 2014. This is the growth that we saw in 2013, and back to here is 2012, and we go back in here and it's 2011. And by looking at these on a tree, if the compression area between these so-called nodes and internodes is less than, say, about 3/4 of an inch, your tree is in trouble, and it has some root or else stem problems with it. Normal growth on a tree should be at least 6 to 8 inches, if not in many cases, like on a maple tree, you can push out as much as 14 to 24 inches on a good, healthy maple tree. So just by looking at these areas of compression, nodes and internodes, you can tell how healthy a tree is.
You know, we notice trees growing with the leaves coming out. That's the part that we visually see. We don't really stare at it long enough to watch it grow 4, 6, 8 inches as it's actually getting bigger and bigger.
No, but that's one thing you can do when you take off a branch, take a look at it and see these little compression areas, and you can tell how healthy a tree is.
All right, let's look at this branch. I'm looking at this branch trying to be my junior horticulturalist. I see some little kind of a green, a little bit of, not really a fungus of some sort, but it's something that I could probably scrape off with my fingernail. What exactly is that on this this branch.
Okay, the thing, green thing, and they're quite common around here. They're known as a lichen, L-I-C-H-E-N, and it's a symbiotic relationship between a fungus or a cyanofungus or a cyanobacteria and a fungus that grow together. And they just kind of live together and are quite happy, and they live on dead things. You'll see them on cemetery stones all the time, if you go visit, especially the old grave sites. You'll see them growing there. They come in various colors, and they tell us about the environment that's out there. Environment where you see a lot of them is usually a pretty non-air polluted environment, whereas if you don't see them, you have typically a lot of sulfur dioxide, ozone, PAN in the air. So it's kind of an indication of how the environment is.
We're talking with Charles Benke, horticulturalist, joining us this morning. And we're on Ely Square, so I'm looking at the different flowers. I see some of the, I think the daylilies is what they have over here around the fountain, a little bit. The hanging baskets. Let's talk about that. You're hanging a basket of dirt. Flowers come out of it. It looks nice. It probably is difficult to really care for that, considering the evaporation of all the water.
Right. They here at the city, I'm sure they're around on a regular basis to water those and fertilize them on a regular basis. Because if you have a hanging basket at home, and a lot of people got them for like Mother's Day or for Memorial Day, you need to start taking care of those and remember to be feeding on a weekly basis right now. The regular fertilizers, like the Miracle-Gro, Miracid, the Peters fertilizers, all will work very well. Just remember to mix them according to the label directions and apply it weekly. And as the season goes along, be sure to trim back the baskets a little bit. They tend to get a little long and lanky, and they don't flower as much. And if you'll just trim them back, and about 2 weeks later, they'll send out little sprouts and have leaf or flowers on them again, and they'll do quite well for you.
You know, when they put together a city square, they always try to do nice landscaping with that. And they do have a nice job of the landscaping, obviously trying to keep the trees. The ones that you mentioned, which are quite old here as well. Let's talk a little bit about, I guess, the ground cover underneath it. I'm looking at some areas where they just kind of put mulch underneath. Some places have the shrubs, but other places are able to get some ground cover. How difficult is it to really grow things under some kind of older trees?
Yeah, older trees do present a problem for us. I know the folks like up in Avon Lake and Avon where there's heavy oak trees that are up there, and it's really hard to grow grass. Once you get about 80% shade in an area, grass just does not grow. We have enough sunlight into this area, so grass is growing. If I get down and look really carefully at the grass, I'd probably see that a lot of it is a fescue, or what they call fine fescue type grass that is growing there that's better adapted to shade. As we get more out into the sun areas, there's actually bluegrass that is growing out in those more sun areas. Bluegrass typically does not like to grow in shade at all. So the grass species will adapt to the amount of sunlight that happens to be there. And then if you get really heavy shade that past that about 80% area, then you got to go into some of these ground covers. There's some vinca vine or vinca major that's over here underneath the one tree over there.
It's growing up into the tree as I'm looking at it right now, too.
Some of it will at times grow up into the tree. But it tolerates more shade. Same thing like Pachysandra likes shade quite a bit. A lot of the ivies will like shade quite nicely. In fact, they'll grow up into the trees quite commonly. And so there are plants that are adapted to those really low light type of areas.
Well, they also have to plant grass here that is suitable for people to walk on. And I mean, even though there are pathways and sidewalks, people like to come in. There's picnic tables here as well, so they kind of have to have the balance of the beauty and the functionality of something like that. Let's talk about people still planting at home. Where are we at right now? I know we're well past that frost date. People are starting to put vegetable gardens in. What process are we in right now in the planting stage?
Well, we can still do planting. There's still stuff available at a local garden centers. You can still put in the tomatoes and peppers. In fact, this is the best weather to put them in. It has gotten warm enough. Soil temperature is up around 70 to 72 degrees currently, and that will help on root development, especially for the warm tropical crops. Like, you're putting in squash, putting in cucumbers, putting in tomatoes and peppers and eggplants. They like warm soil. They did not like the cold soil of early May. In fact, we kind of had a cold May this past year. So go ahead and put those in. The beans can go in. The more warm or the cool season crops like cabbage, broccoli, You might want to wait till a little bit later again at the end of the season, actually September, and plant them at that time again so you get a late fall crop.
Well, there's a lot of things that people can do. Of course, this rain that's been coming over the next couple of previous days have made things a little bit of damp. This as well. Frank, one of your friends, the squirrels, is coming over here. I'm looking at him coming here as well. Leaving some extra sunflower seeds from here as well. Well, there's a lot of wildlife out here as well, and we have a good time as we broadcast from Ely Square. And Charles, thanks for stopping in. Appreciate it. And you can take back your twig and your leaves here as well. Go compost these leaves somewhere. And we won't tell anybody from the Parks Department that you've been pulling off leaves off of their trees here as well, even though Lisa Bowman's going to join us coming up on the other side of the 8 o'clock news, share us some information on what's going on with the Parks and Rec Department, people getting out and enjoying activities that they're putting on throughout the summer. Also next hour, we'll be talking with the Lorain County Children's Services, and Mayor Holly Brinda will be stopping by to join us as we continue with our Spotlight on Elyria, as we are broadcasting from the gazebo on Ely Square in downtown Elyria on AM 930 WEOL.